B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah, you're coming to my grunge beach party? It's going to be sunny. Perfect time to cut those sleeves off that sweatshirt. Hello? Yes, Julian. Yeah, you can come too. Tom? Yeah, there'll be fruit smoothies there. Okay, I'll see you there. Hello? Oh, Roger, man. What's up, man? I am not having a party, I swear. All right. Yeah, no party. Take care. Miami Dolphin cheerleaders? Big party Saturday, baby. Gronk Beach Party. Get your tickets now before they sell out.
In a pineapple under the sea. SpongeBob SquarePants. Who's a Zobra in yellow and Porsche is he? SpongeBob SquarePants.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He's back from Mobile.
He's got a free Saturday down at the Miami, too. Maybe he'll go to Gronk Beach.
Are you going?
I'm going to be coming back on Friday.
You're going to be gone?
Yeah,
Gronk Beach, you'll have a really good time. So, so the Senior Bowl, but for you, the Senior Bowl is like all the writers get together and you have very limited responsibilities. So this is like your spring break.
Nah, I don't know if it's spring break. It's more just for me networking, like, and getting around these guys. And it's the start of the off season for most of the teams too, other than the four that are in the championship round. Cause the two are obviously preparing for the Super Bowl. The other two are still, at least their coaching staffs are still digging out from the end of the season.
Yeah.
For the other 28 teams, really, this is the beginning of the 2020 season.
But you get hammered, like, every night there.
I mean, I don't sleep very much. Yeah, I don't know if you guys can see it. But I don't sleep very much.
But did you see Bill Belichick? He had a bunch of coats on, and he was hanging out with Nick Saban. And now, are him and Nick Saban, like, glued at the hip at this stuff?
Yeah, so it was... I actually think I found Bill's new, like, college buddy.
Yeah.
Like, his new college football buddy is this guy, Eli Drinkwitz.
Okay.
Who was the, he's sort of like this very, like, supposed to be this very forward thinking coach. He was at Appalachian State, and, you know, Appalachian State had been a big 1AA power. Now they're, you know, in Division 1A. And, like, the first practice I saw Bill at, like, this guy just got the Missouri job, and he and Bill were attached to the hip.
So he's the new Chip Kelly.
Maybe, yeah. That would make some sense.
So, like, just Bill. Like,
so remember that name, Eli Drinkwitz. And if they start all of a sudden randomly drafting players from Missouri, then you know why.
All right. So is that, like, now how does that courting process go? Does one present?
Like, that's a like, very good question.
Like a peacock? And then Bill knows to come up. But he just started hanging out with them.
Yeah. I mean, it was something that was pretty obvious. I mean, it's weird because, like, there are big pockets of people at these things, right? And so, you know, like, you'll see, like, 10 guys from one team, and then you'll see another group of, like, 6 guys, and you're like, oh, like, that guy used to work with that guy, used to work with that guy, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it almost, like when you see Bill at something like that, it's almost like he's always with just one other person. Like, there was one year he was there where, like, no one expected him to show up. He shows up the last day that, like, the big group of people is there, right?
Yeah.
Which most of the teams are just there for the practices. And all of a sudden, he pops up at the top of the stands with Parcells. This is when Parcells was working for the Dolphins. And nobody even know they'd even, like, made up.
Oh, really?
So, like, all of a sudden now, like, you've got, like Senior Bowl practice happening down here. And, oh, my God, there are two, like, historic.
It's like Brad and Jennifer the other night.
Right,
it's like,
right. You know? They're back together. Like, what are they doing up there? What are they talking about?
So at a thing like this at the Senior Bowl, do you get a read from the coaches you speak with and things like that, some upcoming thoughts on how these teams are going to view free agency and what they're going to do with some of their players?
Like, yeah,
it's a good place to garner information on that, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the start of all of that. Like, that's where, for example, like the Alex Smiths to Washington trade happened a couple of years ago. That's where the Kirk Cousins negotiation blew up. Like, there are just certain things that start to happen there. All the agents are there. They're there for their players, but they're also there to start to talk to teams about different things that could happen in March and April. And
any good juicy rumors this year?
I mean, You want me to just drop everything here?
or you know,
I mean,
what,
I'll tell you that.
But does it seem like, I mean, was, yeah, I mean, were you surprised by a few things?
I think the big topic is what's going to happen with the quarterbacks. And obviously that relates to Brady here. But it's not just Brady. You know, there's this period, and really it's going to start a month from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is the opening of the franchise tag period. And at that point, the Titans are going to have to make a decision on whether or not they tag Ryan Tannehill. The Bucs are going to have to make a decision on whether or not they tag Jameis Winston. The Chargers are going to have to make a decision on whether they tag Phillip Rivers. And in certain ways, you could get towels on Brady at that point. Because, as you guys know, a lot of this stuff gets hashed out at the Combine. Yeah. Well, the Combine's the last week of February. So these guys have to be tagged by March 10th. So these teams are going to have the ability to go to the Combine, talk with different people about what's going to happen with this quarterback, what's going to happen with that quarterback, and then they're going to make decisions on whether or not to tag their own quarterbacks. And so, you know, if the Titans decide not to tag Ryan Tannehill, if the Chargers decide not to tag Phillip Rivers, that could be a tell.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that could be a, okay, like, there's something moving here.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it was weird because I saw you on TV last night and you guys discussed this. And Adam Schefter yesterday was talking about how the Patriots don't want to get caught with their pants down the way they did with Rob Gronkowski with the Tom Brady situation. And his whole thing was that, you know, so they aren't going to wait until that deadline to try to do something. But my opinion on all of that is the only way you can stop him from doing that and going to free agency and exploring that is you have to blow him away during this period of time, correct? Isn't that the only thing they can do?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way all players approach it. I mean, people are acting like this is new with Brady, that
no.
he would want to go to the market. Like, look, this is the way it works, right? Like, the terminology that agents use with it is you're buying back years, right? Like, so if a team is willing to do a deal with 2 years left, say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the team is basically going to get a discount because they're selling off the injury risk.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so like if you're Derrick Henry, for example, that's a good example, right? If you're Derrick Henry, why in the world would you take less now?
Yeah.
Like, the Titans have had a year to sign you, right? And they haven't done it. And you incurred 16 games of injury risk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've basically gone through every, like, Kyle Van Noy, Joe Tooney, if you want a couple of local examples. Like, no, you had a chance to get me on a discount. You could have mitigated my injury risk because that's what this is all about. You didn't do it. I took on the risk, right? Because if they're buying the risk from you, if the team is buying the risk from you, it's like, all right, like, well, if we're going to take the if we're going to take on the injury risk instead of you, like, you know, having to take on the injury risk, then we're going to need something back.
Yeah.
And so, like, Brady, why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you?
Don't you think there's part of Brady, too, that just wants, for the first time, to be able to be, you know,
but that's any player,
showing love?
Like, yeah, and the point I'm trying to make is that, like, that's any player. Like,
no,
any,
but especially with Brady he's
waited longer, yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, 20 years, and now it would be nice to, like, go around and have everyone tell
you.
Yeah. And like, it's not like the Patriots are going to step up and blow them away either. That's not their MO.
Well, but just, like, college coaches do this. College basketball coaches a lot of times flirt with the NBA, and you know they're not going to take the job, but they like to be told how nice they are.
All right, here's the other thing, guys. Ooh. Like, people are acting as if there's some, like, silver bullet option out there for the Patriots if they decide in the middle of February to move on from Brady. Where's that?
Bridgewater?
Well, Bridgewater's a decent. I'm not saying
that, like, there aren't decent options. Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, if you want a reclamation project like the Titans took on with Tannehill this year. So I'm not saying there aren't options out there. There are options. But, like, I think part of, like, what Adam was saying sort of presupposes the fact that, like, there's some sort of silver bullet out there and that they would be passing on some sort of incredible option. If they do wait, it's not like Patrick Mahomes is going to become available.
No. But wouldn't you think the team feels they're in the best interest of the team is not to give that kind of money to Brady and, you know, into move on and they could still win the division. I just think that there's no way Belichick wants to bring him back. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense when you're building a roster.
Belichick doesn't sign the bottom right corner of the checks.
Well, I think Brady's coming. Well, listen, what do I know? But I think Brady's coming back because I think that Kraft's going to just get drunk one night and call.
And I actually thought, like, the TMZ video, and I normally think these things are kind of stupid.
The Robert Kraft one, where they asked them, is
they're always catching people going like in and out of places, and like they all, like, a lot of times people are just trying to blow them off.
Yeah.
But like, there was something, like, to me, like, the significant thing here was he was already in the car, right? Like, he was like he could have very easily just closed the door, and he chose to say what he said. And there's part of me that wonders, like, is he he has to be talking to Brady there, right? Like, he's not talking to the TMZ people.
Like, he wants Brady to see that video.
He wants, like,
and
like,
to see him run.
Right. Like he wants to see, he wants Brady to, like, see and feel what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And I do know that there was this feeling from the Brady camp that, like, that whole phrasing that you heard after they did the, you know, 1 year bump in August, the phrasing coming out was uncharted territory. And that really kind of
pissed him off.
Went up Tom's tailpipe.
Sure.
You know? And so I think the idea, like, that we hope to keep him back, we want you back, like, I think maybe it was important for Robert to get that message out there because he knew what happened in the summer, mm-hmm. like, did not go over very well with number 12.
Plus, it was pretty funny to see him run. All right, we'll be back. More from what Bert Breer, fresh out of Mobile, was at the Senior Bowl. We can talk about some of the prospects over there at the Senior Bowl. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Well, here's the situation. I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting till March 16th to get an answer from Tom Brady. Right? Last year, Rob Gronkowski wound up retiring in late March. Now, I don't know the conversations they didn't have before, but New England missed the window on free agent tight ends. So I don't think that they're going to let Tom Brady go to free agency, all of a sudden sign with Team X, and then on March 20th say, well, what do we do at quarterback now? So that's not the way that organization operates.
Scapegoat Wax. One record. It was the best record the year it came out. It was on the Grand Royal label. The Beastie Boys label.
Was Luscious Jackson the... I only think of one other one. That was on Grand Royal. Yeah.
And then gave me a sec to go through the old encyclopedia up here in the old dome.
The dome.
Oh, God. The John Spencer Blues Explosion were terrible.
They were on Grand Royal?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. They weren't the best.
No, they were... I don't get them.
Yeah, they weren't the best.
I don't understand.
What was their hit?
Nothing. They had a video.
Oh, no. Natural One was an okay song. Isn't that them?
I don't know. All I know is I never...
Natural One, make it easy.
I've never heard them.
Inside. That was kind of a hit, wasn't it? Oh, that's Folk Implosion, not Blues Explosion. Okay, so I get the two mixed up.
I was going to say, I never heard John Spencer Blues Explosion do anything with any kind of melody.
Okay.
That's the correct term. All right, so Bert Breer, you know him from MMQB. He just came back from a Caligula-esque orgy in Mobile, Alabama. And
Patricia were like the cake.
Well, Patricia, I'm being told that Dan O'Brien was watching it, and Patricia was breaking down the defensive prospects. But
He was mic'd up, him.
Yeah. Well, he's actually coaching in the game. That's why they're one of the staff's coaching.
Well, Matt Patricia also did a Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels a solid, because this is kind of funny. You know, I always wonder that when you're mic'd up, whether if you don't tell the other coaches that you're mic'd up, whether that's kind of like uncool.
Yeah.
So this was actually on TV. Here's Matt Patricia walking over to Belichick and McDaniels for the first time.
I'm Mike. So don't say anything. I just want to say hi. How you doing? Yeah. I mean, I couldn't miss those sunglasses though. I mean, I saw those from like 5 miles away. Like, that's nice right there.
See, that is a cool guy move. Listen, I'm Mike. Don't say anything. All right. Come on. Don't give away your secrets.
Yeah, well, they actually have like signals too. Now people listening on the radio can't see it, but it's like they'll
pull their chest.
They'll pull their chest like looking like this.
Check
like,
it out.
I got a question. All right, so say Brady leaves, which I hope he does. And so,
wow, you hope he does.
Oh, yeah.
It's better for us.
Good for business.
Well, no. I think it's better for the Patriots, and I think it's better for Brady. If someone wants to give Brady $30 million a year to sit there and deteriorate, let him.
Mm-hmm. I just think that you come back with what you had last year. You haven't really solved anything. Now, they would have to be able to pay Tom Brady a ton of money to keep him and then try to put some great weapons around
him.
And
they can't draft.
I don't know if they can do that.
Yeah,
and you said it best with, like, that. I mean, the defense is ancient. So they got to make moves there as well. And I just don't see there being – unless
they can
pull a miracle out of their ass.
This is a great wide receiver class, but they already took one last year and that didn't work out.
But everyone wants to see Brady versus Belichick, don't they?
Yeah,
they want to see which one's the best.
So, okay. You know? So you're at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And there's quarterbacks that showed up there that people like.
Yep.
Senior quarterbacks that could possibly be someone that the Patriots would be interested in. Kid from Utah State, I guess, showed himself very well there.
Well, he's like, so it's with him, it's a little like Mahomes 3 years ago. And I'm not saying he is Mahomes, so don't take that the wrong way. But he's very raw. He's physically impressive.
Big hands.
Can put the ball wherever he wants to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic, big, but like had a bad junior year. His last year at Utah State, they had went through a coaching change. If you look at the numbers, they're not very good. His mechanics were out of whack. Like a lot of things went wrong for him. And so I had somebody about a month ago say to me, the Jordan Love kid from Utah State is going to be the one where there'll be a handful of teams that really like him and they'll just keep their mouths shut about it. And that's exactly what the Chiefs were with Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, like 3 years ago, like they sort of got on Mahomes early. And then there were maybe like four or five people in the building who knew that they liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the people in the draft room, when they traded up, were stunned.
Okay.
Had no idea what was happening. And the reason why was because this was like he was like a prospect that some teams had a third round grade on, some teams thought was a top 10 pick, right? Like,
yeah.
So you had such wildly differing opinions because he was raw, and that's what Jordan Love is.
Okay.
Again, I'm not saying he's Mahomes, mm-hmm. but there's just very differing opinions.
So is there a guy like Jordan Love that could fall to the Patriots? They don't really have capital, I guess, to move up very far.
Yeah.
But is there a guy like Jordan Love that you think that they could take that you believe
would fit? The one that makes sense to me is, and I think I told you guys last year, I think I brought Stidham's name up with you guys a couple times before the draft because he was like this guy who they probably viewed as a little bit of a distressed asset, like a guy who had physical ability, who was a good kid, who does everything right. Bad system for him at least. I think the kid that sort of makes some sense to me this year is the Georgia quarterback, Jake Fromm.
No arm.
Who's not physically gifted, but can handle a lot of volume, who's tough, like who was a captain there, who beat out, like he beat out Jacob Eason, who wound up being the starting quarterback at Washington, who was probably going to be a first or second round pick,
mm-hmm.
had started the entire year before. And then he beat out the next year, Justin Fields,
yeah.
who was a Heisman finalist at Ohio State this year.
Fromm could fall that far, you think?
I think, the question with Fromm is like the physical, but like, I remember like last summer when I was, every summer I do like kind of a look ahead at the quarterback class, right?
Yeah.
Like, and here's the kids to watch in college. And what I kept hearing on Fromm was he's going to go to what would be perfect for Jake Fromm would be to go to a place where there's a lot of volume because he's going to be able to handle that. And that's going to unlock who he is as a player. And the team that kept coming up was the Raiders, because that's what Gruden wants to do. Gruden wants to run a complex offense. Well, who else wants to run a complex offense?
Oh, Bill Belichick.
The Patriots want to run.
Is that on with the complex offense? You've been hearing about this. Is it kind of on Belichick and McDaniels that the offense is too complex that young players can't?
That's fair.
Because what team? I think I heard on Felger Matt.
We'll see it with the receivers.
That's what I'm saying. Is that someone just hired a new offensive coordinator because everything was too complicated?
Dolphins. Yeah, they got rid of the guy who was with the Patriots.
Right. So because it was too complicated.
Because they've got so much draft capital over the next few years, mm-hmm. they're going to get younger, and like it was a player development thing for the Dolphins. It was, are our players going to come in here and have the ability to play quickly, to contribute quickly, to develop quickly? And I think the conclusion that Flores and Chris Greer came to was no.
Yeah.
It's going to be too hard for them. So what do? They bring in Chan Gailey, who coached the college game before he wound up in Buffalo.
A dirty liar.
Wow. Was this over the Jets period?
It wasn't Chan Gailey, the guy who had the Notre Dame job?
No.
No.
George Tech.
That's George O'Leary.
Oh.
He's the guy who lied.
Oh. My bad.
Wow.
Continue.
That was libel there.
George O'Leary's. He knows I got his number.
George O'Leary is the mentor of Bill O'Brien, too.
Ooh.
There you go.
Bill O'Brien, a dirty liar.
Some teams are looking at this and saying we need to meet the college players halfway because college systems have gotten
simpler.
That's sort of the idea with a lot of these teams is how do we make this work so we can like the Niners, right? You know, Kyle Shanahan would want to, run an offense with some complexity. Well, the way that guys from that tree are doing it, we've seen it with McVay too, is they dress it up with motion, they dress it up with formationing, they dress it up 17 different ways. And McVay said this to me once. He said, my job is to make it hard on the defense and easy on our players. And how do I do that? Well, I'm going to take everything that's complex about our offense, it's going to be on me. And I'm going to make the rest simple on our players. And so, I think that the Patriots haven't done enough of that. Here's the catch-22 there, though. And this maybe plays into what you're talking about with Brady. Is Brady as good a player if you're not running as complex an offense?
No, because his ability is mental.
Right.
And so it really doesn't fit. So if you're trying to get younger and you have an aging team.
And that's the part of it that no one talks about.
I know. And that's why you and I are on this different level.
Well, I mean, why could Peyton Manning survive even though he was throwing like you at the end?
Right, because they had people, veterans to throw to.
So what you're saying is that
because they were running an offense that was so advanced.
Right.
They were doing so many different things.
And he had people around that could handle it.
So to that point, you're saying that Tom Brady and John Gruden are a match made in heaven.
I said it on TV last night. I'll say it again. If you look at John Gruden's greatest success as an NFL head coach, it was with the Raiders the first time around with who at quarterback?
Oh, yeah. A veteran quarterback.
Rich Gannon.
Of course, yep.
Who do you win a Super Bowl with in Tampa?
Brad Johnson,
like a guy who's deep into his career. Like, he has won. If you look at Gruden's greatest success as a head coach in the NFL, it's not with quarterbacks he drafted and developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's with older guys who could handle the sort of offense that he wants to run.
Right, right.
That are coming in after having been a bunch of different.
Another reason to let Brady go is that you have to get this team younger. And if you're going to do anything, I mean, you can't keep drafting kids. They've drafted so many skill position players and the guys sit there and everyone goes, they can't get on. Well, that's not everybody's fault. I mean, that's not like everyone comes in and they're just idiots. I mean, there's a reason Edelman's the only one he will throw to because Edelman's the only one out there who understands what the hell is going on.
Right.
And so, if you have to get younger, which the Patriots absolutely have to get younger, there's no debating it. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you want to stick these kids around in an offense that Brady can't run a simple offense because he doesn't have the physical ability to do it anymore?
And even the guys that they've developed here, like the skill players that they've developed here, like if you look at it, like, James White had time. He sat behind Shane Vereen. Julian Edelman had time. He sat behind Wes Welker. Mm-hmm. With the exception of the tight ends. Like, the tight ends, I think, are the one exception. And Gronkowski's obviously exceptional, and Hernandez was a freak athlete, right?
Right.
With the exception of the tight ends, like, most of the skill positions who they've developed here, skill position players they developed here, had time to grow behind someone else. Do you have time to draft and develop guys that way right now?
No. Absolutely not, because you've whiffed on too many drafts. All right, we have Burt Breer here, fresh off a drug binged, leaving Las Vegas.
He's just throwing the accusations around.
Well, sitting on this side of the room, he has doused himself in cologne.
Fear and loathing in Las Vegas, that trip to Mobile. We will talk to him. Here are the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Mr. Kraft, how's everything going?
Bob, please.
How's everything going?
What about Tom
can stay in New England. Are we going to keep Tom in New England, Bob? All right, Bob, take care, man. Mr. Kraft, how's everything going?
Mr. Kraft, where are you going?
No, it sounds like my mother-in-law. Where are you going?
You know, I don't even know how that works. Is that like just some dude taking the video and then selling it to TMZ?
So yes, there are TMZ guys, but that sounds like just some guy.
Right.
And who ended up getting that video. Because, I mean, it's funny. You almost, there's so many TMZ videos, you kind of start to recognize the voices of the guys who work for TMZ. But that's not, obviously.
Like, how much do you think TMZ pays for that?
They probably gave him like $300-$500. Don't you think probably like $300-$500 for that?
$250.
Which is probably it's why more. These people get hounded.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I know.
Where you going?
Mr. Kraft, where are you going?
Mr. Kraft, how's everything going? Where you going, so?
Okay, so by the way.
There's one
so?
What's that? There's one NFL thing that bothers me. It's the owners being called Mr.
Yeah, how weird is that?
It's called so Mr. Weird. Kraft. Like, it's
doesn't,
weird. Like,
it doesn't, guys doesn't happen in other sports, right? Like, why are we calling him Mr.? Because he's a paper tycoon?
Sure.
Michael Scott.
He made a lot of money off of like paper products. Like, I mean, it's awesome. Like, great for him. Like, he's a very accomplished businessman. But
I don't hear like, John Henry being called Mr. Henry.
I don't think it happens in other sports.
That's what they call
right?
him.
Yeah, right. Although, like, Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. They don't call him Mr. Jones, do they?
Jones Henry. You don't really know. I don't think anybody really calls Jerry Mr. Jones.
No. They call him Jerry.
Right.
Call me Jerry. He insists.
Call me JJ.
Yeah, that is very strange. I don't know
why. I'm Dynamite.
JJ Walker. Yes, he is Dynamite.
I mean, like, I was talking to Ron Rivera, and he called Snyder Mr. Snyder, and I think Rivera might be older than Dan Snyder. you have to look that up, but I think that might
who calls
be
their,
true.
Who calls their landlord Mr.?
I don't know. I mean, Mr.'s like, we used to call him.
That's a Snyder joke?
That's the one day at a time joke.
I know. The Snyder. Schneider, I think, was his name. When we were
kids, same. We used to refer to our parents' friends as Mr. or our.
Yeah,
you're under the age of like 15.
Or your friends' parents, right? Like, yes. as Mr. this, Mr. that. Like, I don't think that even happens anymore.
No.
Like, no. Like I'm like a little weirded out if any of my kids' friends call me Mr. Breer.
I would think it would be the greatest.
And yet, like, these people insist on being called Mr. I don't know.
He's right. Rivera is older by about 3 years. Dan Snyder's 55. Rivera's 58.
Oh, well, very strange.
I mean, like, isn't that weird?
Very strange.
All right. So, by the way.
Only in football. It's only in football.
Did you see the plans for the upcoming draft that they've got in Las Vegas?
The Bellagio?
Yeah, okay. Yes. Where when they call the person's name, they will get on a boat that takes them to the middle of the Bellagio fountains. And drops them off. Okay.
Meanwhile,
first of all,
the XFL is going to be at the Excalibur.
The XFL, which is, by the way, I saw that up to 20,000 people are going to be at the Sonic or the Seattle Sea Dragon game or whatever they're calling it.
Did you guys see the big Las Vegas Raiders rollout?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
History. Years and years of winning. None of that coming with us to Vegas.
And it's like
a 90, free stadium.
Yeah, right? It's like 95% of it is showing like
the kings of yesteryear.
And now we're, and it shows that big black circle that they just dropped in the middle of Vegas, which, by the way, is going to be an amazing stadium. Yep. From everything I've read, it's supposed to be state-of-the-art and nuts. But, I mean, it was just as
and
over
free.
The top. And free, of course,
because the Raiders.
Town paid for everything. But that's got to be a disaster, right? I mean, having a boat take everybody out there, first of all, they're not going to do that in the second round, are they? Or the third? Or
no, come on. Come on. I thought they'd just have a platform under the water so it looked like the pigs were walking on water.
But how great is it going to be the guy, and it happens every year, who thought he was going in the first round, and he's standing in like the boarding area.
That's right.
Stuck on the dock.
Right. Takes
stuck
his
there
shoes off. His toes are in the water.
I think I'll take the life jacket. Right. I'll take the life jacket off now. Yeah. Right. I guess they won't need me. So, I mean, that just seems like a cluster F of the highest degree, but they've learned from the Nashville thing. I mean, I laughed when I saw the entire road, like, you know, sanctioned off it. But it can be, it's a massive destination for football fans. I think it's, I mean, it's utterly ridiculous if you're a fan of a team just to travel all the way to a, you know, a city just for they can call your team's name once in the first round. You can freak out about it.
When, like, even, like, the team officials aren't there.
Yeah, right, right. Like, it's very odd, but, I mean, it's worked. It worked in Nashville, so.
No Marriott Marquis. That's when it all went down. That's when all the Jet fans could boo and cry, and they took that away.
And that has all changed. Okay, so there was a really good article that Jason Lockenfora wrote. It was good because it seemed realistic, the scenarios that he presented. He was talking about the dominoes falling and where all the different quarterbacks would go if Tom Brady ended up not signing with New England. And he said that he believed more than likely Tom Brady would go to the Chargers, and what that would do is that would set off this series of events. Philip Rivers, he just moved away from San Diego, went back to his home in Florida. He would end up joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because there's a relationship there. I think it's with, is it Ken Wisenhunt or something that's with Bruce Arians? Do I have that right? Or am I getting things mixed up? There's some sort of relationship, and also...
Wisenhunt isn't there.
Okay, so there was that would happen, and then after that, Jameis Winston would go to the Raiders, and then after that, Derek Carr would go to the Redskins because Jack Del Rio is there, and Jack Del Rio is somewhat responsible of making Derek Carr have a near MVP year 4 or 5 years ago, however long ago that was.
Don't laugh about Winston to the Raiders. You know Gruden would love.
He would love that.
Love the run and gun.
He would love that. And I can completely see Derek Carr going to the Redskins because of the whole Jack Del Rio situation. But in the end, he had the Patriots taking Teddy Bridgewater and having him get signed there. What do you know about Bridgewater's status, seeing that obviously they liked him when he was with the Saints, but we still don't know what's going with Drew Brees?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
And would that work in New England?
There's another domino there. There are two things that I like about the idea of Bridgewater. One is that he plays for Sean Payton. And if there are five coaches in the NFL that would prepare you to play
for Bill Belichick,
Sean Payton would be on that list.
And he thrived.
And number two, like, he was in a high-pressure situation this year. I mean, that is a win-now team because Drew Brees is 40 years old, and he was going to go out for about 6 weeks, whatever the time frame was, right? And for that period of time, it was Teddy Bridgewater's job to keep them in contention.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it is on you now to preserve our contention in what could be the final year of Drew Brees' career and what could be our final shot with this group of players. So it's on you to keep us in contention. He went 5-0. So, like, I like those two things about it. I also feel like this is one of those guys where you've got to pull multiple levers. And I'll give you guys two examples of it, all right? Number one, when the Packers turned the page going from Favre to Rodgers, people forget this part of it. They drafted two quarterbacks that year.
Yeah.
They drafted Brian Brohm in the second round. They drafted Matt Flynn in the seventh round. They liked Rodgers. Doesn't mean they didn't like Rodgers.
Yeah.
But until you actually saw him out there as a starter on a full-time basis, you didn't know what you were going to get.
Sure. And how many times have we talked about that? Is that you just got to keep drafting quarterbacks?
Seattle's the other example.
Ah, because what happened with Seattle? They had signed whom?
They signed Matt Flynn. They traded for Charlie Whitehurst.
And then what happened?
They brought back Matt Hasselbeck for another year. They just kept throwing darts at the dartboard, and eventually they found Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Like the Eagles, another example, in 2017, right? Howie Roseman said, like, he gets the job, but he goes back into a position of power, and one of the things that he had studied after his year out was, well, look at how can I find a way to create stability here? Well, like, look at the teams that drafted in 2004, the Giants, the Steelers, and the Chargers, who drafted quarterbacks. They got over a decade of stability out of taking one high. So I've got to find a way to create stability at the position. They paid Sam Bradford $18 million a year to come back. They took a shot on Chase Daniel, who hadn't been who hadn't had any experience as a starter at that point.
Yeah.
And then they traded up twice for Carson Wentz. Like, the idea for all of these teams, just keep throwing darts at the board.
Well, don't you think that Teddy Bridgewater earned himself a pretty big payday? Like, how much is he going to cost if a team wants him? Let's say the Patriots want him.
I mean,
That was impressive what he was able to
pull
off.
I
mean,
let's take a break, and then we can come back with that answer. But we've often said that is that you just got to keep drafting quarterbacks. You just got to do it.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Worst case, what's the worst case? The worst case is that you have an extra one that you can trade for value.
Exactly.
Right?
And so, I mean, you don't have to take, you know, one in the first round every year, but, I mean, take a quarterback.
Right.
All right, we will return.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, all right. Start ya. Citizens of the Universe, recording angels. We have returned to claim the pyramid.
By the way, all these funk songs were sampled on Paul.
You saw that video that they made that had all the samples on it.
How long have we been doing Funk Fridays?
Long, long time.
I think I'm a little ahead of the curve on that one, my friend.
It's side by side the actual song on the Beastie Boys album, and then the real song that it came from.
Yeah, I've done that digging already, my friends, years and years ago.
You could do that for A License to Ill, but it's just Zeppelin 4.
Yeah. Rick Rubin not digging very deep.
I'm just going straight to Zeppelin. That's pretty much it.
And if Bonham had a beat before a song started,
he would rap over it.
That's exactly what you're doing.
So, all right. So, this Super Bowl week, you got any big plans while you're down there, Bert? Like, this is kind of mover shaker week, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, honestly, it's more important for me weeks like this week than next week.
Okay.
Next week's just a big crap show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll see some people, and that part of it, like, it's way more valuable for me to be at the Senior Bowl or the Combine than it is the Super Bowl.
But the great stories kind of fall in your lap during Super Bowl week, because we were talking about this. Chances that, well, seeing that he gets out of jail this morning, Antonio Brown won't be able to resist, and he'll find his way towards all of the chaos down there.
If he's not in custody.
Yeah, right. Well, he is this morning. As a matter of fact, he turned himself in last night. Very nice, like, powder blue tuxedo sweatsuit. Very odd. But he ended up going there and turning himself in, and I guess he spent the night in jail, and this morning is going to speak in front of the judge. But after that, I mean, what is he, 20, 30 minutes away from where all this is going to be going on? And, you know, he's Mr. I Want to Be Famous, Mr. Instagram.
He's, like, addicted to attention.
He's addicted to it. Don't you think that he's going to find himself in some way, shape, or form in the middle of all this?
The problem with that for him would be, like, what's everybody going to, like anytime he would go anywhere around where the media is, wouldn't it just be a crush of people asking him about what the hell he's been doing the last 3 or 4 months and what the hell went on in, you know, in Hollywood?
Yeah, but he wouldn't. Well, first of all, obviously he's not going to get credentialed, but I think that he would just be like talking about like a, you know, how he built a temple in his house or how, like, you know, he'd just ignore all those questions and just start talking about, I don't know, climbing ladders.
Why would he not be credentialed?
Huh?
Why would he not be credentialed?
Because the league doesn't. Oh, the league wouldn't credential him.
Not a chance.
He's not officially suspended.
The league's not going to credential him, dude.
But
no
way. He's not officially suspended.
The league has like kicked the can on investigating him for the last 5 months.
But he's not like officially
the reason
suspended.
Why the reason
he's
the,
not getting
no, but the reason but they. The reason they've kicked the can down the road on his investigation is because they're trying to basically influence teams not to sign him. They want him to go away. They've spent the last 5 months trying to make him go away. Like, there's no way they're going to credential him. Mm-hmm. Like, after 5 months of trying to keep him out of the spotlight.
After being arrested?
Next thing you know,
you're going to tell me Papa John's not going to be there
either. Whoa.
Hey. Papa John's got a little controversy going on, and you bet your ass he's going to try to show up.
Papa John has his own beach party.
You want Gronk Beach? Watch out.
It's just like he puts up, it's like the shilling like a Trump rally. He just puts up like a tent. He's like, peace out!
Bert, were you there the day that Papa John showed up to Media Row with a stack of pizzas and about like 14 people in his
entourage?
This is
in Phoenix, right?
This is Phoenix? He put out these pizzas, and it was all these DJs in like Hawaiian shirts just... It was like chum in the water. It was gone within like minutes.
Were you guys... Do you guys remember the deer antler guy?
Oh, yeah, Deer Antler Spray guy, of course.
That might be my favorite, like, as far as, like, Radio Row, like, memory, like, would be the Deer Antler guy in New Orleans. It was Ravens Niners.
Yep.
And he just suddenly makes himself available and just... like, basically throws Ray Lewis under the bus completely. This is why he was able to come back from the biceps injury like he was.
That's why we had him on the show.
Yeah.
Rich took
Oh, you guys did have him on.
Rich
oh,
yeah, took yeah. that stuff.
I took the Deer Antler stuff.
Did it work?
I can't. Dude, look at me. Of course, I'm an Adonis. Yeah. I tried it for, like, a month, and I couldn't tell any difference.
I have a feeling, gross. I have a feeling it doesn't work. All right. Well, Bert Breer, thank you so much.
Right,
go
thanks,
home
guys.
And recover from your...
I made it. Made yeah. it through the hour.
We will see you Monday. You will. Live yes. from Radio Row. That's yeah. right.
It was like the dirt, only in Mobile, Alabama. All right. So we'll be back. There's a woman who has won my heart over. It's a fantasy come true. I don't know why these things don't happen closer to me. But we will discuss that. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.